So I did give him the title of my sermon, and if you looked at your paper here, you will notice that the title is The title of today's message is the heading on this piece of paper, which is gratitude. And so I just, before we get started, I just wanted to welcome each one of you here this morning. Those of you that are here, those of you that may be on YouTube, it's good to have you with us and to be part of our worship this morning. You might have noticed last week that the two seats that Marcy and I usually occupy weren't filled last week, or somebody was sitting in our place, I guess, but nonetheless, right? We went here, and where we were actually is my granddaughter was going back to Virginia Tech, and she wanted to know if my truck could take some of her stuff down to her apartment in Blacksburg. And I thought this was going to be, you know, not too bad. I built a false tailgate to my truck so that we could get the mattress to her bed and all that stuff in there, right? So I wanted to be prepared so I could leave on Saturday at the earliest possible time. We drive halfway or a little more and then finish it on Sunday morning. As you might expect, we were watching the cattle for my daughter, Lori and James, and I got a call when I was thought I was going to get pick up my granddaughter. I got a call that a cow was out, and could I come help get the cow back in? So it wasn't quite as smooth a start as you might think, but I got down there and I thought, well, this is easy. I would just unload the truck. And she said, well, I have some other things across the street. Could you help me bring them over? Yeah, that's not a problem. Two more truckloads. Wow. I mean, real truckloads, not just a little bit in the back of your truck. In fact, the last truckload, we had to tie on the last thing. And so I didn't have to make three trips. Now, you might think, well, that's not too bad. Well, it was 95 degrees and 95% humidity. And unloading all of that stuff was an interesting exercise. But I would like to brag on my granddaughter just a little bit. Her name is Hannah. And just like Hannah in the book of Samuel, she's gone through a whole bunch of issues and difficulties in her young life. But I love the response that she gave me when we were talking about that. She said, "You can't let your past govern how you live today. You must focus on today and what it brings. Reliving the bad things of the past only makes you bitter." I said, that's pretty remarkable words for a young lady that's 20? Yeah, I think she's 20.
I'd
say. So I just thought, and all the things that Hannah has gone through, like Hannah in the Bible, right, who had gone through the discouragement of not being able to conceive, right, or Hannah, my granddaughter's gone through a lot of things in her life too, and yet her response is, let's live today and everything that today has in it for us and not think about all that other stuff. And so that kind of struck me, over the last week or two, I've had an experience that I thought I would share with you this morning. And it was a personal experience for me, but I think it is something that all of us can learn from, if you will. And I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden, and I can't explain why, right, all of a sudden, tears started rolling down my face. And I'm thinking, Lord, what's this? I don't understand. Why are these tears here? And he said, my first thoughts were that Well, this is about the Robbins family. The Robbins family brought us, Marcy and I, into their family, and our kids as well, into their family. They treated us as if Marcy and I were their kids, right? And there was such a relationship between us, right, that it was really, really special. Mm-hmm. And so I was filled with gratitude, right, that they let us be a part of that family. And out of that gratitude, I decided that I'd write Ron Robbins an email and tell him the gratitude that I had for that relationship that existed there. And so that kind of went by, and I got busy at work and getting things around for going to Blacksburg, and I knew that I had the message for this morning. And I said, okay, Lord, what's the topic? Didn't get an answer. Lord, what's the topic? And I didn't get an answer. And as the 24th got closer and closer, I got more and more desperate. Lord, I need the topic, right? And I don't know whether you all realize or not, right? But Don and I, Jordan and Edwin, we don't look at a book and bring the message to you, right? No, we really wait for a nudge of the Holy Spirit to say, this is the message that we have for New Covenant this morning. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a little different than a lot of churches you might go to, but the messages that we have really come from a nudging of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then Monday, I was driving down the road again, and I was saying, Lord, what's the topic? He came back and said, I gave you the topic a couple weeks ago. The topic is gratitude. I thought, oh, so that was the topic. And he said, gratitude can become a lifestyle if we realize how much God really loves us. And that's the kind of relationship, he said, that I have with you. So the Holy Spirit not only gave me a topic for this morning's message, but he gave me an example along with it. The gratitude that I felt with the Robbins family was a result of relationship. The gratitude that we can have with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a result of relationship. After all, you and I are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Right? And so we can have that same kind of relationship, that same kind of, conversation between our Lord Jesus Christ and ourselves, just like we have relationship with other people around us. We can do exactly the same thing. And so, of course, right now that the topic is gratitude, and the Lord finally got the topic, got it through my head as to what he wanted in gratitude, I said, okay, so what does the Bible say about gratitude? Well, the first thing that you always do, right, is you go look up, how many times does the word gratitude show up in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Right? Because the more it shows up, it must be really important. Right? So how many times do you think the word gratitude shows up in the Bible?
75.
75.
1,000.
1,000. Don has the right answer. Zero. Yeah. That's the King James Version, right? How about the English Standard Version?
Zero.
Zero.
Translation.
Yeah. How about the Christian Standard Bible, CSB?
Zero.
Five.
Oh, wow. Christian Standard.
How about the Amplified Bible?
1,000.
22. I just think I find those things kind of fascinating, and so it was interesting to me that the word gratitude, right, doesn't exist in King James or the English Standard Bible. It is in the NIV once, right, but it doesn't show up all that often. Most translations use the word thankful or thankfulness. So what's the difference between gratitude and being thankful?
You give thanks. It's an action. Thankfulness is an action.
I like that answer.
Well, we say you give thanks and praise, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I think most of you know Jim Koons, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
He always has his own sense of humor, which I really love, right? If I would ask Jim Koons, so what's the difference between gratitude and thankful? Mm-hmm. And I already know what his response would be.
Well,
he would say, well, that's easy. Gratitude is a noun, and thankful is an adjective. And then he would smile.
Interesting.
He's, you know, he used to be a part of our Bible study, and then he moved up to Pittsburgh. But he's done that to me 2 or 3 times when I say, okay, well, so what's the difference? And he would say, well, that's a verb and this is a noun. That wasn't really the answer that I was looking for. But gratitude really is a deep appreciation, right, for the life that God has given us. And it's a lasting feeling. Thankfulness, on the other hand, right, is an expression that's often immediate. You know, when something really good happens to you, you say thank you. Right?
Right.
It's an immediate response. And then it kind of goes away. With gratitude, it does not go away. It is a deep and more enduring impact on your life. In fact, gratitude influences your entire life. Not just for a few minutes, but it actually becomes a way of life. And that's what I believe the Lord calls us to, is to have gratitude as a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I looked around to see if any other pastor had attempted a sermon on gratitude, and I found that Pastor Nelson of Life Springs Church in Arizona, and he says it this way: it is clearly pleasing to God when we are thankful and show it through worship and praise, not just through song, but in everything that we do. However, there's a more profound element to gratitude that will positively affect us and those around us for the rest of their lives. And everything that we say, everything that we do, and everything that we think. So, you always have to look up the word, right? So how come the Bible didn't, and the translators of the Bible didn't translate the word gratitude? And so I looked it up, and the Greek word that's translated as grateful is charis, charis. And it means the act of giving thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what you were talking about, right? And it comes from the Greek word cherio, which means joy, rejoice, or be glad.
Mm-hmm.
You see, at the bottom line, God wants gratitude to be a way of life, your way of life. That's what he wants. And he wants that because of what he did for you. Right? And so, I said gratitude wasn't in the Bible, but if you looked at Colossians 3:16, it says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, which I thought was interesting also, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. This long-lasting, deep-seated sense of God's presence and his love for you, that's the way he wants us to live, that we would have a sense of gratitude in our heart for all of the blessings that he has given to us. So the concept of gratitude has 2 points in it, that are different, I think, than the idea of thankfulness. And one of those points is that gratitude is a continuous thing, happens all the time, right? It's a way of living. And if you were to look at, and the number two part of that is it brings with it the idea of indebtedness. Mm. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But if you were to look at Hebrews 13:15, it says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God." How often? Continually. That is the fruit of your lips, giving thanks to his name. It's that's a form of gratitude because it's done continually. And if you were to look at Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks how often? Always.
Always.
Not once in a while, but always.
Okay, I have the New American Standard Version. Okay, so in Colossians 2:7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with
gratitude.
But I like that.
I do too, overflowing with gratitude. It's beautiful.
Which is something that is for us each and every day. We live recognizing the love that God has for us, right? Mm-hmm. And being grateful for that. Mm-hmm. Now, I think you all recognize that God has a plan for you, right? Mm-hmm. And that plan is good. It doesn't mean that he's out to harm you in any way, shape, or manner. But you know, sometimes deviate from his plan through our disobedience. But the Holy Spirit will always nudge you back onto the right path if you listen to the nudging of the Holy Spirit. Right? He'll always nudge you back onto the right path. So Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And then the one that I like is Psalm chapter 40, verse 5. It says, "O Lord my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list." Just think about that. His plans for you, the blessings that he has for you, are too numerous to list. You see, a lifestyle of gratitude begins when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and realize that our Heavenly Father has a plan for us. A plan that is meant to bring us the fruit of the Spirit. All of those things that are in Galatians 5. But it doesn't end there. As we discover the love of God each and every day, more and more as we discover his love, right, then our sense of gratitude grows toward our Heavenly Father. It's a growing experience. It doesn't happen just, you know, at the flip of a switch. Our gratitude toward him is something that grows as we begin to understand his love for us. And I know that he only has good things for us from his perspective. Sometimes his perspective and our perspective are a little different. And so we look at things and we wonder, why are we going through these trials and tribulations? And are these things really in our best interest? And I was listening to Bill Gaither this last Thursday, and he had an interesting comment. His comment was, you know, and I don't know how old Bill is, but he's got to be, I think he's older than I am. But in any event, he says, right, "When I look back over my life and all the trials and tribulations I had to go through, I see God working out his plan for me. He caused me to make turns in the path when it was the right thing to do. He caused me to walk down the path that was laid out for him." And I think, well, I'll tell you that for me, right, who was also over the age of 18, I can look back over my life and see all of those things that God did, right, to guide me down a path. John Ryder, there's a name from the past, by the way, 50 years ago. John Ryder came from Alabama to Owego, New York, and we worked together on a sonar system for the U.S. submarine fleet. And John and I got to be really good friends, and he says, you know, God has something cut out for you. I don't know exactly what it is, but in time, right, he has something cut out for you. And I look at where I am today and the fact that I'm standing before you, right, is the something that John was talking about. And John and I have remained friends for a long time. I'd like to go see him and make sure that he's doing well. So when we're in that set of circumstances, right, we need to remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. So this lifestyle of gratitude continues throughout every day of our life. You know, for example, in the morning when you wake up, what's the first thing you think about? Is it thinking about, okay, so how am I going to spend this day? Which it could do, right?
Thanking the Lord for another day of being alive.
There you go. Oh, exactly. Throughout the day, we have lots of opportunities to thank the Lord for his goodness in our life. And even in the evening, right, we can thank him for the blessings that we experienced that day. Mm-hmm. So in our nightly prayer, Marcy and I, we look back over the day and we thank the Lord for what he's really done for us. And things like, top of the list, gift of salvation. Right? But how about the other little things? I like to look at the little things that God does for us. Mm-hmm. Right? How about the fact that of healing? The fact that we have good health? The fact that we have a home? That's kind of nice. Right? Have a home? Mm-hmm. That we have three kids? And if Liz were here, she would be thankful for the fact we have two dogs. I'm thankful that we got here this morning, safe and sound, without an accident, right? Or getting held up some way on Route 66 as we were coming in. And so when I think of those things, I think back over all those things, and you see God's blessing, and you have an attitude of being thankful for all those blessings. That's a lifestyle of gratitude. You know, and sometimes we look at things and we kind of take them for granted. And this was one that really struck me. You know, I know that God does supernatural things. Things that we think are supernatural, right? They're just natural for God. I'm sorry, they're not super. They're just his normal thing. Right? To us, they look like, man, look at that. That's really being supernatural. But a few years back, when Diana Chevalier was part of the congregation, I was giving a message and telling everybody, you know, we just take things for granted, like breathing. And Diana says, not me. I thank the Lord every day for every breath I take. And that's because Diana had lung cancer. And but her attitude toward that was, I thank the Lord every day that I can take a breath. Mm-hmm. And that's part of living a lifestyle of gratitude, being thankful for even some of the small things that you and I might take for granted. Diana did not. So you can't come to church without getting an assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
I did my time, Bob. I did it.
Well, either way.
Oh, this is great. Thank you, Bob.
This is really cool.
Oh, that's great.
I have no idea. Let me look at my bag.
Oh, I love it.
So, oh, I'm sorry.
Do we get personalized asset pins?
You don't have three.
Way to go, Liz. Gotta get the pen, too.
Anybody need a pencil?
No, because I have this.
Now, I thought about several things here. Because I was talking with Marston, and I said, you know, what I want people to understand is there's a lot of things that you can be really thankful for.
Yeah.
Oh,
so I thought about, could I get a roll of paper? Because I want you to write down what you could be thankful for.
Okay.
So I didn't want to give you a single sheet of paper. Because that would kind of indicate that, well, maybe the list can't be very long. Right? So I got lots of sheet of paper in there. Right? And I'd like to just, you know, take, if anybody needs a pencil, right? I got pencils that are sharpened. If you need one.
Oh, look at that. You're so ready.
Sure.
And if you make a mistake, I got a bigger reason.
I'll take one. How did you sharpen this?
It's a special tool inside it.
No.
It's called a pencil sharpener. It's called a pencil sharpener.
Okay, anybody else? So let's just take 2 minutes, right? And write down some of the things that you could be thankful for. It would be part of your living the lifestyle of gratitude. And if you fill up your book too fast, I got extra books. So I think you know what the top of the list is. We should all be grateful for the gift of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice that he made on the cross. But below that, right, I want you to think of the little things. The little things that are blessings in your life. Right? And just and then I want you to take this book with you, right? And maybe when you're feeling down or as if, you know, where is God now? Right? Open this book and say, oh, look at all the things I could be thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wrote them down once upon a time. Do recognize it when you're waiting for 2 minutes to go by. 2 minutes seems like an eternity. When I go to sleep, 2 minutes seems like
only
a second.
Oh yeah,
it's all perspective, isn't it?
It's all perspective.
Yep.
So
it's true.
So while you're finishing up, you know, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12, verses 28 and 29, it says, therefore, let us be grateful, right? Let us be grateful receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The fact that we are part of God's kingdom, and that kingdom cannot be shaken. It doesn't make any difference what Satan thinks he can do. He can't, right? Because God's kingdom cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship, reverence, and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. was debating on making a comment. You know, when we think of in, we are to love all people, I understand that, right? Mm-hmm. But when we think of things like Don was talking about, was these two guys living together, being gay, the thing that I think about is they don't think about the future. They only think about today. Because you recognize that there's no children or grandchildren after that. And so they're all about getting rid of the human race on the face of the earth. I think if they just thought about that, right? And the more popular it gets, the fewer and fewer kids we have, and guess what? The earth becomes depopulated. We think, as an example, the earth is heating up. That's what the environmentalists say, right? If there's no people here, does it make a big difference? I'm serious, right? We live in a generation when we think about ourselves and not about the future, and the goodness of mankind and the fact that God created each and every one of us, we forget about that, right? And we lobby for things that if you're going to eliminate the human race on the face of the earth, why are we worried about those things?
It's the frauds, Bob.
Hmm?
It's the frauds.
It is a fraud. Satan has made that fraud upon us. And we need to recognize that. They need to recognize that, not just you and I. Now comes the second point. That's in the word, that's in the meaning of the word gratitude, and that is indebtedness. Gratitude implies that we are so thankful that we feel, not just feel, that we need to respond. Not just by being thankful, but by doing something. So, this same idea, I think you will find in the book of James, chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, "Do you want to be shown, you foolish people, that faith apart from works is useless?"
Yep.
So what's your response to, in gratitude? How do you respond? What do you think the proper response is? It's one word. Lots of letters. It's called obedience. That's the response. Gratitude. We are so grateful for the blessings that God has put into our lives. So thankful for those blessings, right? That we need to be obedient to our Heavenly Father. So we should be so thankful for the gift of salvation that we have the need to respond through our obedience to our Heavenly Father. We have the perfect example of what that obedience means through the life of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that every one of us, including me, can live the perfect life that Jesus Christ did, but he is an example of being in lockstep, if you will, with the will of his Heavenly Father. And he didn't do it, just like we shouldn't be doing it either. He didn't do it out of obligation or the fact that he thought he was going to be punished. Mm-mm. He did it because he loved his Heavenly Father and he wanted to be obedient to his Heavenly Father. And that should be our motivation as well. So this sense of I need to do something out of gratitude, right, is you do it because of the love you have for your Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Christ always wanted to be surrendered to his Heavenly Father. He trusted in the fact that God had a good plan for him, just like he has a good plan for you and I. And he wanted his life to reflect the will of his Heavenly Father. And he learned to trust that God's plan was good, good for God, good for him, and good for you and I. And he wanted us to learn that same kind of trust that he had. The trust in the Heavenly Father and the plan that the Heavenly Father has for us. So just like Jesus, God wants us to live our lives in lockstep with his will. How do you do that?
In God we trust.
Well, one of the things that Deborah and I were talking about earlier is kind of listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit in your life. If you don't listen, then how can you be in lockstep with your Heavenly Father? Now, I know we can talk to our Heavenly Father, but sometimes we just have to not talk so much and turn our ears on. And in Sunday school today, the kids are learning about ears and listening, and they're going to make a hat that's got big ears on it like this. I'm not suggesting that you and I make a hat that has big ears on it like this, but the message is, right, we need to hear. We need to listen. And I guess I should be at the top of that list because the Lord said gratitude, and I kept asking him, so what's the topic? Someday I will learn, but, you know, it takes time for an old guy like me to learn. So what would it mean if we were totally surrendered to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What would it look like if we were totally surrendered to Jesus Christ and His will? Well, let's think about it. How would our life be different? And I have eight things that I think would be different if we really lived a lifestyle of gratitude. The first one is, we wouldn't wait around and hope that God's will would somehow miraculously appear, but we would seek His will. We would communicate with God and listen to hear His will for us. We would consider surrendering to God as an act of love rather than defeat. Oh, I give up, therefore. No. It's not an act of defeat. It's an act of love. It's something you want to do. It's something you feel a need to do because you are so grateful for what He's done for you. We would experience doing God's will to be as satisfying as eating a plate of your favorite food. It would be pleasing to you. It would feel good to you to honor God's will in your life. The only thing that we would look for is applause from God, not from people. Right? Doesn't make any difference what people think. What's important is what God thinks. And if God says thank you, or He appreciates our praise back to Him, we would act on God's will with a sense of urgency rather than reluctance or resistance. Right? Got to get this done because God said so. Now, are you sure, God, you want me to do this? And I know Gideon put the fleece out, right? And kept asking God. But, you know, from our perspective, right, we should, when we hear God speak, we should just do it.
Yeah.
Right? And not say, are you sure, God? Well, you know, I really don't really want to do that. No, do it. And that's a word for me as much as anybody else here. We should consider obedience as compliance, but as an alliance between us and the Lord. Mm. Not compliance. Compliance means you feel compelled to do it. An alliance says that you're walking hand in hand with the other person. So you should consider God's will as an alliance, not compliance. And you would be willing to entrust not only your life to God, but also your death. Believing that His plan for you is a good plan. In all cases, whether it be here on this earth living or when He calls us home, we put our trust in Him. He is the one in charge, not you and I. So living this life of gratitude is simply understanding the blessings that God has given to each and every one of us and to be thankful for those blessings. And sometimes it just, you know, doesn't feel like it's a time for for Thanksgiving because things aren't going the way they should be going or what you think they should be going. But the reality is God's in charge, mm-hmm. and we're not.
Yep. Yeah.
And so we have to lean upon his understanding, not on mine or yours, right? But simply on his understanding. And that we should live a lifestyle of gratitude. And that means that every morning when we wake up, throughout the day, and in the evening, all of those times, we are thanking God for all of our blessings in our life. Really is a different way of living, a different way of thinking. It's not ho-hum, woe is me. It's, look at what's God done for me. And it can, and you know I like the little simple things that God has done for us. So, my prayer for you this morning is that each one of you, would have a lifestyle of gratitude. That you would live your life in gratitude toward the Heavenly Father and all that he has done for you. Mm-hmm. Recognizing that he has only good things for you. So surrendering our lives completely to him, to allow him to have control, only brings us good things, not bad. And so, Father, as we think about gratitude this morning, Father, may each one of us have a sense of, such a deep sense of gratitude towards you for the blessings that you have provided to each and every one of us. And Lord, may we, as we think of those things, Lord, may that bring us closer to you in our relationship with you. That relationship would grow as we learn more and more of the love that you have for each and every one of us. And Lord, may we always be surrendered to your will in our life. Always be sensitive to the nudging of the Holy Spirit in our life. And always be willing to walk and to do, right, your will. We thank you, Father, for every little thing, every little blessing that you have given to each and every one of us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen.